Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference Call for the 8th day of September, year 2019. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is a serious warning. This will be a solo rant. However, the lines will be opened up later on in the program. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to his holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program, Cumru Ambeth. Again, callers will be welcome. We do ask that you be careful of language used, as there are mixed audiences that listen to these broadcasts, and we do appreciate those that would respect that. We are in the question and answer mode, which if you look at the help area on freeconferencecall.com, they explain what that means. Our website is www.pastordan, and that's all together, no spaces. PastorDan.net. A lot of information there, many more items than I send out by email. I send a few critical ones out that way, but the majority of the daily mail is put up on the website. So please get in the habit of checking it from time to time during the day. Any emergency broadcast information will be put there. News items, reference material. I'm getting a lot of stuff being sent to me. Especially e-books, which is electronic books. Very nice to have that because we can save that down to thumb drives that you can put in a safe place to protect them from EMF and pulses and such nonsense. And then you can always call it back up and either print it out, read it, or you can cut and paste parts of it to use to wake people up, which is something I did to alert everybody to Jerome Corsi when he was being touted as such a patriot. This was a couple years ago when his book came out, and I ordered the electronic version of the book and found very quickly where he was basically an apologist for the Zionists. And so I cut that section out and shared it with many people. And shortly after that, the whole patriot community pretty much figured out that he was a shill for the Zionists, just like Steve Pachenik, admittedly a Zionist Mossad, and everybody's telling us what a great patriot is. It's like telling me Alan Dershowitz is a great patriot. Wait a minute, dual citizen, Israeli, a great patriot. That's almost like naval intelligence. All right, it's an oxymoron. It doesn't go together. Please. Zionist is communist, is Bolshevik, is enemy of this country, enemy of everybody in this world. And the good news is the world's waking up to that. Praise Yahweh. More and more people are starting to put the pieces of the puzzle together and make Obadiah, verse 18, Ezekiel 25, verse 14, and Malachi, chapter 4, all potentially doable in the very near future. And a lot of people say, well, how are you going to do that? Well, I'm personally not going to do anything. Neither are you. But what is going to happen is Yahweh's plan, his logos, which every time it's in the Bible, they translate it as the word, but it also means the plan. So what was with the Father from the beginning? This thing called the Word or the Bible? Or do you think it was the plan? It's where our word logic comes from, logos, in the Greek language. It means to have intellect. Who has intellect? Mankind has intellect. Mankind has the Spirit of the Father, not the animal kingdom. I know a lot of people want to treat their animals as if they're people. Mankind, but they're not. And that doesn't mean they don't have a special place as dogs. I like to refer to them as man's best friend. I think the Father created them as a very special breed of animal because they are man's best friend. And many times, animals treat us better than other people do. Okay? So, but they don't possess the intellect and the spiritual creativity that the Father breathed into the nostrils of Adam. So we need to get over that. But one of the things I wanted to bring to our listening audience today, since this has been a rough week, I have to admit that. Even people noticed on Wednesday night I did not sound quite my normal self. I've been under a lot of stress. I'll call it stress. Lately, mostly because of my frustration of my people, the white race, the Adamic race. The frustration after 2 decades now of broadcasting, and really the sense that I haven't really accomplished much. And I know that's not true. The Father and I have many, many discussions on this. But there are days that you just can't help it, because we are so far gone as a race of people, and the enemy has done so many things to decimate us, and yet the white race does not seem to put up a fight. It's like the song by Rahoa that talks about, will my race, is this how my race ends? That's one of the songs on their CD, Cult of a Holy War. Again, Rahoa stands for Racial Holy War. And it's R-A-H-O-W-A, Rahoa. It's a very good CD. I believe it's the only CD they ever made. But one of the songs, Ode to a Dying People, is another good one. And in that is the verse talks about, or the stanza talks about, is this the way my race ends? And it's a very sad song, because we are a dying people. And yet, we're going out with a whimper instead of the roar of a lion. It's like James McCann or James Lancia said on this program over a year ago. It's time for the men of Jacob Israel to be lions again, because we've been sheep. We've been docile, cucked sheep for so long. I don't know that our men know how to be men anymore. It's very disturbing. So, but there are some good signs, and that's one of the reasons I wanted to do this broadcast today. I had contemplated not even doing one, but I think Father saw the frustration, not only in myself, but many of our people. And so some really good stuff has happened within the last 2 days that make me think that there is just a shred of a chance that we're going to be okay. We're going to come through this. And again, not because of our merits. If anything happened because of our merits, we'd be gone. If I was sitting up on that great white throne and there was a red button that said flush us down the toilet, I would have pushed it already. But that's why I'm not the Father. Thank goodness for yourselves and for me. And yeah, I do have a little bit of a sinus problem, so I ask your indulgence on that. I think there's some pollen or something in the air down here. But there's some good things going to happen in the very near future, and one of them is a gentleman that I spoke with yesterday who has credentials that are almost unbelievable. This man has done a lot of things, both in the military and in law enforcement, as far as an analyst and an intelligence gatherer and an investigator. And he shared a lot of things with me. Plus, I listened to his interview on We the People Radio recently. And the reason for the A Serious Warning title for the day's broadcast is because that's what these men are going to bring. I've asked him and his friend Jim to be guests on our program this coming Wednesday night. And I will be part of a call tomorrow with a fellow in Australia who is going to bring to knowledge things that are going to frighten many, many people. This is their warning to me, as well as to you, that when the light is shown on the evil that's being done in this world, it's going to blow your minds. it's far worse than we even thought. And these men are true believers. In fact, the gentleman I spoke with, the gentleman I spoke with said that he had been told by the Father in the last, less than a week ago, that he needed to contact me. I had sent him an email 2 months ago inviting him to come on the show because of an article he wrote warning the believers in the United States that they're not prepared for the spiritual war that's about to unfold on this world, and particularly here in the United States, but virtually every white nation, and that they're not prepared for it. So I invited him to be on the show, and he basically said he was going through some personal issues, and I forgot about it until yesterday's phone call, in which he very graciously, and to show that he is a true gentleman, he apologized. And in our conversation, he said that he was told that this ministry is being used by the Father to help wake up the remnant. And praise Yahweh, most of you folks that have been with me for, in fact, some of you folks have been with me almost from the beginning, which is 20 years ago. That is what we dedicated this program for, was truth and the waking up of the remnant. In fact, I entitled, when I started signing up for the radio broadcast, when they said, what organization are you with? I said, the Remnant Education Association, or REA. So it was interesting that this gentleman was talking about waking up the remnant. It's time to wake up the remnant, and that our platform will be used by the Father, as well as others, in the effort to go all over this earth in a very serious wake-up call to the remnant. And we know the remnant is not going to be very big, at least that's what we're told in the new parchments, that the remnant is just a tiny flock. And if you look around you at how many people know this truth, how many people even seem to give a damn about much of anything anymore, it seems to be a tiny remnant. However, I remind you that Ezekiel in chapter 37 tells us that that is the spiritual nature of our race and mankind as a whole, but particularly our race in the latter days, that they'd be spiritual zombies. And that's what they are. They're bags of bones walking around with no spirituality to them whatsoever. They just go through the motions. They believe that life's journey is just a day after day collection of toys and entertainment, and that's the measure of the quality of your life, when those of us who know the Father know that's not true at all. The quality of your life is fulfilling the will of the Almighty to be His sons and daughters, which is a biblical way of saying that you exhibit His attributes. Okay, when people see you, they should see a reflection of Yahweh Himself. And if they don't, then something's terribly wrong. So this interview is going to be quite interesting. And again, we're going to try to set it up for Wednesday night. Would highly recommend everybody that can be there to please show up, as I believe we're going to hear some very, very amazing things. His friend Jim has been a seer. That's S-E-E-R. If you're not sure what a seer is, in fact, let me go ahead and I'll look it up for you real quick and give you the dictionary definition of it. A clairvoyant or a prophet. So in a sense, it's a person who can see forward, okay? And he's been in this anointed position for 4 decades. So I believe he's going to share with us some very, very pertinent stuff for the latter days. The urgency that these men who spoke with me showed tells me that we are very close to some major events. We've all been talking about this for months. You can feel it coming. While these gentlemen are in the same camp, even though we did not know that we were all feeling the same things, but as people are contacting me, I'm hearing it from more and more folks. So we can tell by the Holy Spirit that we're being prepared for something that's coming. Now, Father told us through the writings and through the Holy Spirit that he would let us know ahead of time about the chaotic condition and the things that are coming for our safety. We may get to Psalm 91, which is the soldier's psalm, here in a minute. And you need to read that psalm. I've been recommending that for many years, but right now, because of the timing of what's going on, it's going to be extremely important, not only spiritually, but also for your well-being emotionally. In my darkest days, back when the Father was shaking me very tremendously, this was back in the 1990s, and I was going through a period of time that I would equate to maybe Gideon when he was hiding in the wine press, maybe Elijah when he was hiding in the cave. The enemy was all around me. I felt all alone. And yet, I look back at that, and the Father never, ever left me, ever, no matter how bad things looked. And did he turn something very negative and very fearful into something very positive? Yeah, he did. That was my sort of awakening, epiphany. That was my realizing that we were in much bigger trouble than I had ever thought. And it was also the seeds, let's say, of what was to become by Yahweh's design radio ministry. So the Father will do that, and I believe that right now, with the leading of the Spirit, the way it seems to be affecting so many people that I know, I believe that we're coming up on a significant event very, very soon. Probably in the beginning of 2020. Certainly sometime during the year, but I believe in the first half of 2020. Some very, very significant things. So we've been given a window of time between now and the end of the year to awaken as many of our people as we can. Ralph says here, in Gideon's time, it was 300 versus 200,000. Maybe in our time, it'll be 300,000 versus 200 million. Yeah, could be. So 1,000 to 1. Which makes kind of sense because the world's population has probably risen up by that same ratio. But 300,000, yeah, that would be about right. I think we could get an army of 300,000 together. Whatever size it is, it won't matter because we're marching for our commander-in-chief. And our commander-in-chief is wise and loving. He's warlike. He's Yahweh of wars and Yahweh of armies. Ezekiel 37 says he's going to raise up a vast and mighty army. The stories about Armageddon talk about the fact that Jacob Israel, as well as in the book of Obadiah, that Jacob Israel will rise up and there will be a great slaughter of the wicked. We may get into Malachi chapter 4 here in just a minute too, because I want to read some things out of that. But the main thing I wanted you to know is that the doctor, in fact both men are doctors, but the doctor and I spoke for like 90 minutes, very close to 90 minutes. It was an exceptionally good chat considering it was our first time talking together, and it was a good exchange of men in that I know I can learn things from this man because of his vast background and what he does for a living. And he acknowledged that the Father had told him that he needed to talk to me because I had information for him, probably along the lines of identity, because most people don't have that piece of the puzzle. And that's the important piece of knowing who's who in the zoo. As I've been telling people for a very long time, if you do not eliminate the Talmudic Zionist communists from your organization, your organization will fail. I don't care if it's a church club. I don't care if it's a bingo event. I don't care if it was like in 2009 when we went to Washington, D.C. for the Tea Party rally, and I predicted the Tea Party would never go anywhere the day we were there. And the only reason I had to base that decision on was the fact that there were Jews at the podium. Probably 50% of the speakers that day, as I could tell, were Talmud thumpers. Well, no organization will ever succeed. Remember, one of the goals of the Antichrists is to lead the opposition. That's how they control our opposition. That's why there doesn't appear to be any opposition to what the Jews want to do in our countries today. Because they infiltrate and take over any organization that seems that even has a chance to oppose them. And we're not smart enough to figure it out, because our watchmen, who we believed were the, quote, churchgoers and the pastors and preachers, when in fact they are Baal priests that have been taken over. The same Talmud thumpers infiltrated the seminaries and turned the so-called watchmen into doing the bidding of the Antichrist. And so this is a very critical piece of information to get out to the remnant out there who still love the Father, but they're misguided. They're misguided and misled, and that's the job of the remnant. The real remnant of Yahweh are his true sons and daughters that love him and call upon his name. And that's where the church world needs to wake up, and that's why I believe this is going to be an important interview and an important information that will be given out on Monday's conference call. Because these people have the spirit of Yahweh. They want to do right, but they're missing that critical piece of information. The Bible is basically meaningless if you don't know how to differentiate the characters in the story. It's our history book. The biblical texts are our history book. No other people. It wasn't written to any other people. You look at James chapter 1, verse 1. Who's it say? Or Jacob, it's actually Jacob, it should have been translated as Jacob, but they put James in there. So James 1:1 says to the scattered 12 tribes. It doesn't say to the world. It doesn't say to Africa, sub-Saharan Africa. It doesn't say to the North Pole. It doesn't say to Alaska. It doesn't say to Siberia. It says to the scattered tribesmen. I want to read a verse real quick. This is out of Psalm 143, verse 10. Teach me to do your will. How many people are asking that? Teach me to do your will, for you are my Elohim God. What does that mean? What does El mean, Elohim God, in the ancient text? It's the same title given to a magistrate, a king, a prince, or, if it's used in the right context, it's talking about our Heavenly Father. Basically, people that have authority over you. So, this is talking about our Heavenly Father, Elohim. For you are my, what? King, sovereign, judge, ruler, and my Savior. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground. It's a biblical way of saying, will your spirit lead me in open paths, not down in ravines, not over mountaintops, but on level ground, easy to travel, easy to make a home on, easy to do what you have to do day by day. Biblical way of saying, may your spirit lead me on level ground, so that I don't fall to the wayside. I don't go up and down in my faith. I don't go up and down in my acknowledgement. I don't go up and down in my loyalty to my race. I don't go up and down in my loyalty to the truth. Just like the former Reagan cabinet individual, Paul Craig Roberts, wrote a very good article recently of about truth. And the fact, why is truth so hard to find nowadays? Why are the people willing to accept lies instead of truth? When will the truth matter? We've talked about it here on this program for a long time. when is truth going to matter to our people? Yahweh said, I'm what? The truth, the way, and the life. Okay? So Ralph says here that according to Dr. Adrian Krieg, in the Swiss Army in World War II, a Talmud-thumping Jew was not allowed to rise above the rank of private. Again, folks, you cannot violate the books of Deuteronomy and Leviticus, okay? I know you want to, because you want to fall for all of this nonsensical garbage about lifting everybody else up. Well, you can't lift anybody up if you allow yourself to be put into the pit. And that's what's happening to our race. All right? So you can't violate Yahweh's law. And Yahweh's law makes it very clear, racial aliens are not to hold authority over you. And look how many racial aliens are in our state and federal government. They're everywhere. Okay, you're in violation. You've turned your backs on the Father. That's one of the things these men discussing with me, and we will discuss in our future interview, is the, quote, church world. They call it the church world. I hate that word church, because Christ never went into a church. And we don't belong in any organized anything, whether it's organized banking, organized healthcare, organized education, organized religion. All the organized everything is of the devil. It's of Satan, the adversary. It's a way of controlling it. But as they said, the church world, or I should say the world of believers out here, is woefully ill-prepared for what's coming down the pike, spiritually, mentally, and physically, completely ill-prepared. And they feel a strong pressure from the Holy Spirit to do all that they can here in these last months of 2019 to awaken the church world. And so we're going to do everything we can. So I believe that they're honest and sincere, and it's what we've been working towards for the two decades that we've been on the radio, was an awakening of our people. Bring them back to solid ground. Bring them back to our Heavenly Father, because that's the only way we're going to survive. You have to walk in His laws, or you're just not going to make it. Let's go to Let's go to Malachi. It's the last book of the Old Testament in most translations. There's a few that put the books of the Bible in chronological order, which means that they're not going to be the same as your Bible. But Malachi chapter 4, and this thing picked the wrong translation again. I like to use, at least for now, the World English Bible. They do keep the proper name of our Father in there. For behold, the day comes, it burns as a furnace, and all the proud and all who work wickedness will be stubble. And again, let's cross-reference over to Obadiah 18 and Ezekiel 25, verse 14, both of which tell you who is the flame in the fire. Jacob and what? Joseph. A portion of the Israelites. A flame and a fire. And so the proud, who are the proud? People that believe they can be gods unto themselves, aren't they? Who believe that they don't have any authority over them, that they can do to people what they will. And who work wickedness. What is wickedness? The violation of Yahweh's law. They will be a stubble when the day comes that they will be burnt up, says Yahweh of armies, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. Now what is that? That's a biblical way of saying totally annihilated, no offspring. leaves them neither root nor branch. If you tear up a bush out of your yard and you tear it up to where there is no root or branch left, what happens? That means that plant is gone forever. But to you who fear my name, now fear here could be translated reverence as well, same thing. But to you who fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in its wings. You will go out and leap like calves of the stall. You shall tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I make, says Yahweh of armies. Remember the law of Moses my servant, which I commanded to him in Oreb for all of Jacob Israel, even statutes and ordinances. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and terrible day of Yahweh comes. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. Why would you be cursed? Because if you're not turning your attention to your own family, your own race, what are you? What good are you? What do you think we were put here for? To occupy. We were put here to occupy till he returns. You know, and some people have said, well, Dan, I think Elijah came with John the prophet. That's funny. When I read the book, it says that John the prophet or John the Baptist came in the spirit of Elijah. Didn't say it was the reincarnation of Elijah. So when he says here, I will send you Elijah the prophet, you don't think that Elijah the prophet could be here? And I've asked this question before. How do you think you will recognize Elijah? He says, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to send you this prophet. He's going to turn the hearts of the people, fathers to the children, children to their fathers. How will you recognize them? We got a caller, Randy from Michigan. Welcome to the program, buddy.
Hey, praise Yahweh. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. How about you, Randy?
Yeah, let's talk about those that rule over us that believe they're above their they believe that they don't have to answer to anybody. Let's talk about that a little bit more.
Okay.
You know, remember we've had now this is kind of going. You know, anything that I talk about, folks, you can find these video clips on YouTube if you haven't heard about this. This is going back years ago. Example. They come after people in the Tea Party. Remember the IRS, Lois Lerner? They were specifically targeting certain political groups of people. Now, what's interesting about Lois Lerner and the IRS is that they are a notorious agency for denying people what we sometimes refer to as constitutional rights. Now, it's interesting that they deny people those rights, but people like Lois Lerner at the IRS use the Constitution for their own protection. What's your take on that, Pastor Dan?
Well, that's what it was designed for. It's a tool to control us. You're right. It's a way to control how much money's in the private sector, and then the enforcement arm is used as a like a battering ram or a club to keep anybody that steps out of line. Do you remember Congressman George Hansen?
Vaguely.
I learned about him many years ago when I first started waking up. But George Hansen, and I think he was somewhere out in the Midwest, the northern Midwest, he was a representative. But he did some research because of some people that were in his constituency had told him about IRS abuse. So he looked into it, and he found out it was true, and he wrote a book, To Harass Our People. And I ordered a copy, and I read it. And I contacted him. But shortly after he published this book, the IRS came after him. And he was found guilty of a very minor bookkeeping error that 100 and some congressmen do it exactly the same way he does it every year. And yet they picked George Hansen to go after, found him guilty, ended up putting him in the federal prison system, And then they, you know what the word dieseling is in the prison system?
No.
Dieseling is where they move you from prison to prison to prison, so you never establish any support. Your family has to refigure out how to get to you because usually it's many states away. You don't develop any friends amongst the other inmates. Any support organizations have to be torn down and rebuilt because you're going to be in a completely different area. So they call that dieseling because they put you in a bus, diesel engine bus, and they just keep shipping you from prison to prison to prison so that it basically tears down your morale, etc. So here was a sitting congressman now who wrote a book about the IRS abuses, and then he himself was abused by that very same organization here in America. Now, where was the outrage? Where were the preachers on Sunday morning talking about what was done to a sitting congressman and the fact that it was absolute treason to use an element like the IRS to do that? And let's also remember another congressman by the name of James Traficant. Do you remember him?
Absolutely.
Okay, the same scenario. James Traficant was very outspoken about government abuse and how much Zionist control we have over the elements of our government. And they did the same thing. They went after James Traficant.
If I'm not mistaken, from what I remember, didn't he die under some questionable circumstances?
Yes. You're talking about James Traficant?
Something about his death.
Yeah. Yeah, it was suspicious, as was Edgar Steele, another individual that this criminal government uses different agencies of the government to stifle any voice of dissent. Edgar Steele was a very successful attorney in California.
Let's send this message right now to the enemy, that it doesn't matter how many of us that they take out, we are not going to stop. They can take. They've taken out these folks. We're not going to stop, man. They are not going to intimidate us into silence.
Well, no, we can't. We can't do that because.
And speaking about the abuse of authority, right now, folks, right now, if you haven't heard about it, go check out the video on YouTube. We have a sheriff, a current sheriff in Midland County, Michigan. He got popped on the side of the road with the DUI. And throughout the whole interaction, which was recorded by these video cams that these officers have to wear, which are going to prove to be, those cameras are actually going to work against them. And this is a prime example. Throughout the whole interaction of this sitting sheriff getting popped with the DUI, he's begging to be treated differently because he is the sheriff. He even goes on to tell the deputy that breathalyzer doesn't have to read what it says. Would they give you that kind of treatment, brothers and sisters? This video is on YouTube, and this arrogant bastard refuses to resign.
Wow. That's when the people...
And I've recently, brother, talked to the governor's office, because it's my understanding the governor does have the authority to remove him. This happened almost a year ago. And according to the person I talked to at the governor's office, they have not received one single complaint from a politician, a lawyer, a citizen, nobody. Nobody has asked the governor to remove this individual.
That's sad. That's sad.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
But I'm going to tell you what, brothers and sisters, forgive my language, but I am a Rottweiler on his ass right now. I'm coming for him.
Well,
who else, brother? If it's not you, I mean, who's going to do it? If we're not going to do it, who's going to do it? We can't just let these things, we cannot just let these people get away with it. They wouldn't, look, folks, if we got popped with the DUI, probably 30 days in the pen for us. 30 days, 60 days, who knows? We would not get special treatment for this. We don't have a badge of authority to say, well, don't you know who I am? I'm this, I'm that. No. Folks, we cannot have one set of rules for us, and then just because they're the sheriff or a mayor, no. We need accountability in this country, and if we're not willing to hold their butts to the fire, then we get the government we deserve.
Well, amen to that, because public servants are supposed to be held to a higher standard than we are.
That's my understanding.
Yeah. Hey, Randy, we got another caller, so this
sure.
will drop.
Yep,
this
right
will.
Now.
Oh no, that's okay. I want you to stay on, but I just want to let you know you'll get dropped, and I have to I'll bring you back on.
Okay, that'll good. Praise God.
Okay. Okay, Ken, can you hear me?
This is Ken from Mississippi. I'm up in Nashville, Tennessee today. But it was good to hear Randy from Michigan and longtime stalwart. I knew Edgar Steele, and if they can do it to Edgar Steele and Bradford Bedcalf, they can do it to anybody. So we just need to stick together.
Amen. Amen. And that's part of what this is all about, because many years ago when I saw what they did to the lady that was with me at the time, and that's what started this whole series of events in my life anyway, when I watched what they did to somebody who had never gotten so much as a traffic ticket in her entire life, and yet she was being treated as a Arab terrorist that had been caught with TNT in her car, and it was all over a traffic stop and argument over whether her registration was proper or not. And this is the kind of treatment we got. Well, come to find out, it was also because it was known that we were what they termed white nationalists who believed in identity, and so they did everything they could to deny justice. And in the end, the only way we got justice is by following the example in the New Testament, where the widow was not getting justice, and she became a pain in their ass, as Randy has just talked about. So I went on a letter-writing campaign, because a military intelligence friend of mine told me that you're not going to get justice from the system, buddy, because you need to do what they did in the Bible. And so I went on a letter-writing campaign, registered letters to everybody from the governor all the way down through Secretary of State, Lieutenant Governor, Commander of the State Police, Commander or Warden of the prison system, and the three largest newspapers in the Philadelphia area. And so weekly registered letters were going out detailing all the criminality being done, names were being exposed, etc. And that was the only pressure that caused them to actually eventually do the right thing and let this woman go. But it was many months of horror. Randy's right. You know, there's the saying that says evil prevails when good men do nothing. It's time for the good men to take a stand. Would you not agree, Ken? And I'll ask Randy also.
Yeah, it's a numbers game. You just got to have build up your contacts database and keep getting the intel out. And you just got to outlast the enemy, and usually truth prevails. But it doesn't prevail by itself. You have to keep doing the talk shows and the emails and the registered letters and the calls, and eventually you'll win.
That's right.
Keep at it.
Let me ask. I'll start with Randy. Do you feel that there's a let's say Ezekiel 37 scenario? Do you feel that the good people that are still in America, and they're still out there, do you think they're on the verge at this point in time to rising up?
I think so. But, you know, a lot of people might say, you know, my attempt, you know, what do I expect the governor to do? Look, I'm going to do what I have to do, folks. My main purpose of what I do is document their crimes. It's no different than what our founding fathers did. Document the crimes, show all, you have to make all these attempts that you tried to do the right thing. We're not going to be silent. We're trying to do the right thing. We're exhausting our methods. Okay, so we're going to exhaust our methods no different than the founding fathers. The time of rising up, that'll certainly come. But until then, we keep putting the pressure on at all levels. And let me tell you, folks, some of you may remember this years ago. This, because the reason why I'm going after the sheriff, this is the same county, folks, that removed me from my elected years ago. That same time that they removed me from my position, they let a known convicted pedophile remain a precinct delegate in Midland County, Michigan. And I'm fixing to unload on the enemy. I have all the pictures, the documentation, the proof, everything, and it's coming. They kicked me out, but they allowed a convicted pedophile to remain.
Yeah. Well,
I will not stop. I like I said, I am a Rottweiler on their butts, and I'm not stopping.
Well, more power to you. Let me, I want to read a verse that came here in an email from one of my contacts. This is out of Ezekiel chapter 3, starting at verse 17. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Jacob Israel. Therefore, hear a word from my mouth and give them warning from me. That's what we're trying to do, aren't we, men?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I guess. And there's another one here in Deuteronomy chapter 6. For those who have ears to hear, listen to what Yahweh is sharing, to what Yahweh is warning and preparing his remnant church arising. To those already identifying as a remnant of Yahweh Most High, and to those who are strongly sensing the wooing in their spirit, but such is new and different than anything ever experienced. Listen to the voice of Yahweh through the reading of the following sent by Adonai. Listen to me, my people, my chosen ones. I am alone your Elohim God. I am the first, I am the last. It was my hand that laid the foundations of the earth and all therein. The palm of my right hand spread out the heavens above. I spoke, and they came into being. Time and again, I, through both my watchmen and apostles, tell you what is coming, what I am orchestrating to occur in the near future. So when that day comes, you cannot say you did not know, you had not heard. Time and again, I told you directly through my watchmen and apostles what to expect, so you will know I am accomplishing that which I spoke through my servants. So very many of you proclaim to follow me, to submit or cooperate with the plans I have for you, and to walk in humility or trust of my headship over your lives. So very many of you speak such bold words in public, during worship to me and before others. So very many of you only give lip service, seeking good feelings and self-claim, not willing to be quiet and waiting in expectancy and worship, rather than talking and performing. So now I am telling you who have ears to hear some new things, so you cannot say we knew this all along.
Wow.
There is a spiritual conflict coming to this land, and that's what we're going to talk about in the next broadcast with the guests that I have planned to come here. They have a prophetic word that they want to bring to the house of Jacob Israel, and especially his remnant. As it says here in Ezekiel chapter 33:6, blow your trumpets, all ye watchmen. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet to warn the people, and the sword comes and takes the life of one of them, that man will be taken away because of his sin. I will hold the watchman accountable for his blood. And that's what you're talking about, Randy, and I think Ken as well, is, you know, we watchmen, we can't be concerned over consequences of our actions. The actions are dictated to us already that we give the warning, correct?
I mean, at the end of the day, what are we waiting for? I mean, we always know that it's the ones that take charge. most people in this country or around the world are nothing more than sheep. I mean, really, that's how the Revolutionary War and all of our wars ever, you know, it's a small amount of people that really kick it off. And then once everybody else feels like, okay, you know, it's safe to join those forces, then they all want to be a part of the bandwagon, right? That's
yeah.
just the way people work.
Yep. Sunshine patriots, so to speak.
Yeah. You know, I see, you know, like this community that I'm dealing with the sheriff, you know, I read all the stuff they're putting on the internet. Everybody's mad about the sheriff, this and that, but nobody's filed a complaint to the governor. Exhaust all methods, folks. We have to exhaust. You know, hey, it's great to get on the internet and complain. We get on the radio show. We talk about the problems. Put your name, put it on paper, and send it to these people. Let them. We need to let them. Tell them. Be bold. Let them know. Hey, we know what you're doing is wrong. Make it count, folks. We can't just sit idle by and continue these people to get away with this stuff. Let's go after them. I mean, what are we waiting for?
Yep, I agree. Hey, there was a second part of that prophetic reading that was sent to me. I missed it, so let me finish it. Just a short paragraph here. There is a spiritual conflict that has begun and will increase dramatically, in which I am allowing for a time as I continue to build my remnant church, which is now arising. The conflict coming to this land called America is serious and will be painful for many and sobering to even more. Those who are called by my name are barely prepared, while so many others are not prepared at all. Where are my pastors? Where are my teachers? Where are my servants willing to stand and be counted, willing to stand to prepare those who proclaim to be called by my name? They are not present. So listen to those of my watchmen and apostles, my prophets, who are willing to stand and give my words. Then come unto the shelter of my wings, so I may protect and guide you through the raging storm about to come to this land called America. Can you guys
Pastor
see that?
Dan, that's, Pastor Dan, that's the problem right there. Instead of these pastors, of course, there's always exceptions to the rule, but most of the pastors in this country or even around the world, instead of telling the people to prepare for battle, they told them the rapture was coming. They lied to them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right. It's pretty pathetic, actually. Pretty pathetic.
I agree. I mean, I think it's totally deliberate because what some people call the new world, what do you call it, the new world order, the Antichrist, whatever you want to call it, when they come knocking, all the people are going to be like, oh, what? You know, what about the rapture? Well, guess what? The pastors led the people. They're not prepared for battle. These, whatever you could, the UN, New World Order, Antichrist, when they come knocking, try to take away your guns and finish you off, you're not going to be prepared. And because the pastors lied to the people.
Yep, amen to that.
And I believe that's where the whole scripture comes in, where the people will then turn on the pastors and rise up against them too, because they lied. The lies are massive in our country and around the world. The pastors are lying, the whatever you want, preachers, reverends, whatever you want to call. You got the government lying to you. Look at the IRS. Not a single law in that Internal Revenue Code. Pastor Dan recently sent out the email. Of course, there's a Jew trying to make a profit off of that whole thing, but that's beside the story. But there's not a single law that says we actually have to do most of these things the IRS claims, and they've been getting away with it for how many years? We've been lied to, folks.
Yeah, it's sickening.
The lies are massive. But, of course, the only thing I caution with the Patriot movement, what I've seen for years in the Patriot movement, there always seems like there's a Jew in the woodpile trying to make money off of it.
I got you some coffee.
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely. The other question I had, I was going to tell Kenny, send me a text if you want to get back on. I went ahead and muted your mic so you guys can talk in the kitchen there or wherever you're at. But anyway, Randy, I wanted to ask you your latest thoughts on the current administration and the current occupant of the White House as far as being for real or a Trojan horse.
You know, it's a hard one, man, because you see a lot of good things coming out of there, but then there's some things that really just make you question motives. So, I mean, I really don't know. I mean, there's a lot of mixed things coming out of there right now.
We're at a critical point, aren't we?
I mean, I've already come to the conclusion I really don't trust anybody in government. I mean, that's the end result. I'm not looking for one man to get elected and solve all our world's problems. We have the Father for that. The Father will take care of all these problems. So I know there's so many people, they put the faith and the trust in one man to become president, solve all the world's problems, and we live, you know, kumbaya. It's not going to end that way, folks. Read Revelation. It doesn't end peacefully.
Right. Well, you can see that this country is divided like it's never been divided before. And as John Mark says...
Yeah, a lot of that's intentional.
Yeah, well, as John Mark says, we've reached a point where even people who are not Bible scholars, people that say they're not even believers, are seeing that the dichotomy between left and right in this country is at the point where the two cannot coexist in the same land. It can't happen.
Well, even our Father told us that.
Oh, yeah. Well, here again, even if you don't want to believe the Bible, I've told people, all right, you don't want to believe the Bible, you should have at least listened to the people that lived here a couple hundred years ago. That's not that long ago. The Founding Fathers made it very clear on how they established this country and it was to be run, and we're not doing that. We're not doing that. A couple different channels, I put comments in there. They were bitching about what's going on. And I said, have you noticed in the bitching about, like, the women on the five and how women are unstable? They're very emotional. I says, well, do you think maybe that's why the Founding Fathers didn't want women to be part of government? For that very reason, they're unstable.
You know, I find I personally find it hard to live under any form of government that thinks it's okay to butcher babies and sell their body parts for money. I mean, I find it outrageous, folks, that we even allow these things to go on.
It is outrageous. It's outrageous.
I mean,
and
you got people out there fighting for all these, like, special rights. You know, everybody wants to go fight for gay rights and transgender. But the most innocent and precious and helpless of all. The babies. Nobody's fighting for them. Nobody.
Nobody.
Nobody. In fact, they take our tax dollars and they allow it to happen. They've got us all. I mean, we could sit here, Pastor Dan, and say, hey, we don't agree with that. But they take our tax money and they're funding it. They have forced us all to participate in the act through taxation. It's outrageous.
Yeah. Yep. You're 100% right
on
that.
And then I'm going to mock the politicians. Because they all say, God bless America. Man, let me tell you, they are so phony. They are so phony. They're not even fooling me, man. To hell with them. May they all burn in hell. Every damn
well,
one of them.
Exactly. And you're right. We do need to walk away from this whole concept of large, centralized everything, including government. We're to be self-governing, certainly no higher than the county level. Sometimes even smaller than that, but certainly no bigger than the county level, with very little input at the state level and almost no input from the federal level. We don't need them. This whole idea that they have the ability to override state government is ludicrous, and then that the state government has a right to override the county sheriff because he's the most powerful elected official in the county, again, ludicrous. The reason for the sheriff there is for protection, and if they can override the sheriff, then there is no protection. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and some sheriffs, you know, when they get caught doing something wrong, they think they can use their badge to get out of trouble, which, you know, we just talked about a minute ago.
Well, that's where the local militia...
We are living in some lawless times.
Well, there is lawlessness. I think it's 2 Timothy chapter 3 that talks about the lawless times at the end of the age. I'll see if I can grab it here. But lawlessness, when Timothy, in that 2 Timothy chapter 3, where it's discussing the end times, yeah, but know this, in the last days, grievous times will come, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, that's a big one, boastful, arrogant, blasphemers, disobedient to their parents, unthankful. Boy, if that isn't the average cuck and snowflake in America. Unholy, without natural affection. Natural affection like caring about your race, caring about your racial purity, caring about your children, get them the hell out of the public school system. Unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control. Amen. Fierce, not lovers of good. Traitors, headstrong, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of Elohim God. Holding a form of godliness, but denying its power. Turn away from these. That pretty much describes them all today, doesn't it?
You know, it's interesting that you bring up the thing about the traitors. You know, when the city of Midland come after me for what they call disruption of one of their public meetings, I thought it was an issue of free speech. But one of the witnesses testified, he called us traitors and communists. Well, I know. Snowflake, truth hurts, right? And I've got the court transcripts, and yeah, he was telling the jury that he called us communists and traitors, which I've got plastered all over my website right now because I think it's funny.
Yeah, well, they are traitors. They are yeah, communists.
Absolutely.
They're Bolsheviks,
and we need to know. And if you call them on it, they're like little snowflakes. Well, he called us a communist. Damn right I did. I'll do it again.
Well, hey, if
hell
it looks
yeah.
like a duck.
Hell yeah, I call them traitors, and I'll do it again. What are they going to do? What are they going to do? Slap me with another misdemeanor for telling the truth? Bring it. I don't care. Put me in jail. I'll tell the truth. I don't care.
Right.
I hope they come after me again, brother. I'm praying for it. I'm praying that they keep coming after me. Make me a martyr. I don't care. Keep coming. I got more for them. I'm coming. I'm not backing down from these people, man. On my website, man, I'm putting court transcripts, pictures. I'm being transparent with the people. This is what's happening.
Let me ask a question. And again, this is only your opinion, okay? And so people need to understand that. But when I was up in Michigan, they had one of the largest, if not the largest, but certainly one of the largest militias in the country. And again, I'm just asking for an opinion here. Do you think that's still true for the state of Michigan?
I don't know. I mean, it almost seems like we know how the fake news is. But, I mean, from the news and the national news, you really don't hear about that kind of stuff anymore, at least not from Michigan. So I don't know what's going on with that.
Yeah, I know.
You don't really hear from them.
What's that?
You just don't really hear about that stuff anymore.
Right. Well, they drove the militia movement was going gangbusters, and that was the whole purpose for Oklahoma City, if you remember. Was the militia movement in this country was going like wildfire, and so they orchestrated Oklahoma City to demean anybody that was associated with the militia, which was predominantly white. They put that Timothy McVeigh had a militia, a book by Red Beckman about why the militia, which I have a copy of that as well. A very good book, by the way. Red Beckman is certainly a patriot. But a very commonsensical approach to why the militia, why it exists and why it's constitutional and it's actually beneficial to we the people. So, you know, that the Oklahoma, the whole purpose, the whole modus operandi there was to have an event that would demonize the militia movement. And shortly after that, sure enough, most of the militias went underground.
Well, no doubt, Pastor Dan. I mean, anybody who that truly poses any kind of real threat against the system, they're going to demonize them. I mean, you can find videos on the internet of government demonizing the founding fathers. I mean, that's just merely a tactic that they use because, you know, let's face it, man. These traitors know what they're doing. They know that they're violating our Constitution, and anybody who poses a threat to actually stop them, they're going to demonize them because they don't want people rising up. They don't. They know it's going to come. They just don't know when, but they're going to try everything they can to stop it. And that's why they demonize people through their power and control of the media. you know, to mass manipulate the masses. And that's exactly what they've done. Look, the preachers have manipulated the people into thinking, hey, you don't have to prepare because you're going to get raptured. We're living under serious lies, control, and manipulation in this country. For those that do have the eyes and the ears to see what's really going on, don't take that for granted, because most people can't see any of this coming. They're going to be so blindsided, it won't even be funny.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of what the gentleman I hope to have on Wednesday night, they want to bring as a serious warning to the people who have been complacent and completely disconnected from what's going on in this world, that if they don't wake up pretty soon,
just because we can see these things and hear these things, remember...
You're breaking up, Randy. You were breaking up there. We didn't... Yeah, now I hear you.
For those of us that can see and hear all these things that are going on around us, don't think that your neighbor or a family member is going to see it, because they're blind.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is, if you can see these things and hear these things that we speak of, don't take it for granted. Count your blessings.
Amen. Well, one of the things I believe it is catching on, we've talked about it on this program for many years, and I know you've shared it, the discussion as well, is people need to get back to the basics, be minimalists, and they need to stock up on some critical components in their homes so that they can stay hunkered down. I think now is definitely critical that you basically, the old saying, beans, bullets, and blankets. You need the basics, folks. You don't have to get extravagant. But, you know, even if it's putting away honey and oatmeal, for crying out loud, the two of them are cheap to get. They last a very long time, especially if you put the bay leaves in with your oatmeal and seal it up, okay? And, yeah, you might get tired of eating cooked oatmeal with honey, but I'm going to tell you something. If you're starving, that tastes like a gourmet filet mignon. Isn't that true, Randy?
Absolutely. And everybody knows. Pay attention to what the so-called government's trying to take away from us. Even if we sit here today and say that'll never happen, look, we already know the government hates AR-15s and all the accessories. So we should be out there buying the AR-15 and all the accessories, only for the mere fact the government doesn't want you to have it. Buy one.
Amen to that.
There's a reason why they don't want us to have it. So buy it.
Yep, exactly.
They don't want you to have what they call high capacity magazines. So you know what you do? You go out and buy as many as you can.
Yeah. Well, you know,
who are they to tell us what we can or can't have? I mean, they're not our controllers. This is our country. This country belongs to our Heavenly Father. We're not going to let them take it from us. Not without a fight.
Right.
We are not slaves, brothers and sisters. We are not their slaves. They are not our masters. They are the most ungodliest, filthiest, antichrist subhumans I have ever seen in my entire life. Let me tell you, I'm going to get real with you, folks. They chop up little babies. The government has approved them chopping up little babies. What do you think they're going to do to us if they take away our firearms?
They have
no compassion for life.
No. They will do to us what they're doing to the Falun Gong over in China.
And I'm going to tell you, folks, I don't want your money. I want you to go out and protect your family and buy what you have to do to protect yourself from this Antichrist. I don't want your money. I don't need your money. I want you to protect yourself.
Amen. Amen, Randy. Ralph in Canada just put a note in here. It says, we need to learn how to make pemmican again. And pemmican is P-E-M-M-I-C-A-N. Dictionary definition is a food prepared by Native Americans from lean, dried strips of meat pounded into paste, mixed with fat and berries, and pressed into small cakes. It was used by the pioneers as they traveled across America. It's a highly nutritious food, And it does not spoil, which is amazing, that without refrigeration it will not spoil. And it, again, it has a lot of calories, it has a lot of nutrition in these little cakes, and it's called pemmican, and I'm going to get a recipe for it, so if anybody contacts me, I'll send it to you. But something as simple as making up some pemmican and keep it stored, it's a good survival food, something you can make at home from basic ingredients and learn how to make it well, and you can even barter with it, because some people aren't going to know how to do it, but they may have flax, sacks of flour, they may have parts for your car, or they may have gasoline for your generator, or something you could trade your pemmican for. But it's a good common sense thing is prepare with the basics, folks. I'll tell you, now more than ever, learn how to be self-sufficient. One of the reasons that they've got the control over us is our people have ceased to figure out how to do things on their own. Learn how to do things on your own. You were never, ever supposed to give up your own ability to grow food or to hunt or to maintain your home. This whole idea that you can go to school and get an education and be an accountant and not know a damn thing about survival is ludicrous. You were never given a right to do that. That's your God-given responsibility to provide for your family and to know the ancient ways of our ancestors. That's not a suggestion. That's a commandment. Would you agree, Randy?
Absolutely. You don't want to control us with food. Now, here's something else to think about. If you didn't pay your electric bill, brother, they would have to come out to your house and turn off your electric, correct?
Yeah. Well, they can turn it off from an office now.
Well, that's what I'm getting at. So let's say my community decides that we're going to rise up against the Antichrist. They don't have to come out and turn our power off one by one. They just say, we'll show them. Turn the whole community's power off. One flick of a button, smart meters, your power's gone. Whole community, they never have to even come out and mess with you. They
right.
Just flip the switch. I think they're preparing for something. How about you?
Well, exactly. And to further the point you're making, remember that some states, like here in Florida, have passed laws that you can't be off the grid. Can you imagine a government making a law like that? What does it tell you?
Yeah, because like I said, like if for example, if my community was to rise up against the government or whatever, they turn all of our power off, right?
Yep.
And then they could say, when y'all start behaving yourselves and be good little communists, we'll turn your power on. Control, folks. It's all about control.
Amen.
So,
have you heard any of the shows when we talked about the definition of cacistocracy? Have you?
I don't think so, no.
Oh, okay. Cacistocracy, it's a new word, and we're trying to get everybody to start using it because it fits so well. Here's the dictionary definition. Defined as governance by the worst elements of society who govern exclusively in their own interests and to the permanent detriment of all other classes. Cacistocracy. Would you agree that defines the United States of America today and most state government?
You just condemned every politician.
Yeah, the worst elements of our society. But who's to blame ultimately?
I'm going to tell you what, brother. I always encourage people to take a stand, right? As far as I know, in my little, like, I don't know, I live kind of like in a rural area, but it's also kind of a subdivision. As far as I know, I'm the only one in my whole subdivision that does not have a smart meter on my electric pole. I have the guts. I sent, when I first heard that it was coming, I sent a certified letter to the electric company, and it basically said, I do not consent to this. And that's been, I don't know, a couple years ago, I guess. And you know, I don't know what they may have planned for me in the future, but I, as of right now, my electric pole has no smart meter.
Well, bravo to you. Bravo to you.
It's the same type of meter. They didn't try to trick me into replacing it with some non-emit. No. It's the same meter that's been on my house since I bought it back in 2009, and it's still rotating.
Yeah. Do you know why just since I worked in the power industry, do you know one of the reasons why they want to get rid of the old meters? Because as they get older, they slow down.
So they're like, what, they're claiming that they lose money?
Yeah. It's always about money, okay? Money is the root of all evil. So when the designers of the smart meters came along, in order to get the power companies to buy into it, all they had to do is give a PowerPoint presentation to a bunch of directors and say, well, look, you're losing X number of dollars to these older meters. And not only that, but you're paying a meter reader to go out and read the meters. We'll show you how you can fire most of them now, because this will all be done electronically. They didn't give a damn about any of the electromagnetic waves that the things put out. They didn't give a damn about the safety factor of them and that some of them catch fire. They didn't give a damn about any of that. It's just like these cameras at the intersections. All you got to do with the cacistocracy, which that also applies to big business too, the same thing, cacistocracy. All you got to do to people that have low character is just show them how they can make money. They won't look into any of the safety features. They don't give a damn about informed consent. They don't care about any of that. As long as it makes them more money, it's good to go, and they know the average person in America isn't going to get involved. They're too busy entertaining themselves. They're too busy getting high or drunk. They're too busy chasing women. They're too busy racing their cars. They're too busy playing golf. You name it, they've got a thousand things to keep their minds and their entertainment going, and so they don't get involved in anything going on, even when it's against their health.
Yeah, and so many people are just so, they just waive their rights. I mean, I always, brother, I always looked at the smart meter, I always looked at it like this. It's my property, so to speak, right? I mean, as long as you pay your tax money. But I always looked at it like, if things are going to happen on my property, then it should be up to me whether they happen or not. So I always kind of looked at the smart meter like, well, wait a minute. The electric company's not just going to come onto my property and do whatever they want. Okay, I should be allowed to object to that, which I did, and I sent the letter, and so far they haven't messed with me. And I just look at it like it's my property, man. I should have a right to say. I mean, if I don't have a right to say, then it's really not my property. What the hell am I paying property tax for anyways? That was my argument. And so far I've won.
Right. Well, let me ask you a question here, Randy. We live in a cacistocracy. We know the system is broke beyond repair. I don't personally believe elections are going to do us any damn good at this point. It's just too far gone. Recently I read, or I should say I reread a letter that was written by Josh McIntyre about a military coup back in 2010. He wrote this letter why he thought a military coup was the only thing that would save America. It made a lot of sense to me. So let me ask you now, here we are 9 years later with what we've seen has transpired in 9 years. Would you agree with the assessment that Josh put forth that a good military performing a coup is the only thing that can save us, wouldn't you think?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, because, I mean, if you're talking about if the military was to come after the people, yeah, we truly don't stand a chance in hell, do we? I mean, compared to what they got versus we got, that would be a very bad scenario for us. But we have to be able to convince the military that we're not the bad guys. We don't see the military as being bad. Of course, the government's going to try to use them like pawns in a chess game. But as long as we the people and those that are in military, I mean, as long as we're on the same page and not allow government or influences to have the people come up against the military, then we'll be fine. We need to focus the energy on the real threat. The people that pose the real threat against us, of course, it's not we the people, and it's not people in the military. It's this government establishment people that we talk about on here. They're the problem. Of course, they want to be able to take the military and use them like pawns against us, because that would be the ideal situation. We end up like another civil war where we're just killing each other, and the real threat against our freedoms never get dealt with. They just sit back in the shadows and laugh at us. all killing each other.
Well, yeah, that's for sure. They would like nothing better than that.
I'm trying to be very specific because, unfortunately, throughout the year, sometimes people take what I'm saying and they try to make it seem like I'm anti-police or anti-military, and I'm not, folks. I'm just against the bad, evil corruption that is within those things. That's it.
Yep, I agree.
And they are rotten to the... I mean, it's, you know, the military itself is not bad. You know, the police agencies themselves are not bad, but there's rotten stuff with inside of there that needs to be dealt with. It's rotten.
Well, that's where centralization has hurt us, because they've centralized everything, including law enforcement, to where all they had to do is corrupt the guys at the top, just like they've done in the officer corps in our military.
Right, and they have so many good people within those, whether it be the police.
You're breaking up, buddy. Hello? Nothing coming through, Randy. He might be, maybe he's in a dead zone. Not literally, but cell phone. Apparently he's on cell phone. Well, I don't, until Randy can come back, I wanted to pull that up again and make sure I got the name right, because I'm not sure now. I think it's either McIntosh or McIntyre. Here, McIntosh, Doug McIntosh. He wrote that article about the reason for a coup. Now, he's 100% right. Now, the question is the military in the United States good guys or bad guys at this point? And that's the danger. We really don't know. Okay? Everybody assumes that they're good guys, but is it true? We don't have any proof of that. We don't have any proof of anything right now. They're assuming Trump is good, and do we have proof of that? No, we don't. No, we don't. We have the fact that he's done some things that make him look like he's a good guy. But is that a fact? I don't think so. Like I said, there's too many things going on that just don't add up. Okay, Randy, you're back. Let's see if we can hear you.
Yeah, the enemy can't stop me that easy. I keep coming back for more. I've been having a lot of phone issues lately. I don't think that they're messing with me like that. I would put nothing past them. But doesn't it seem like the more you come out against them, just strange things happen?
Oh, yeah, yeah. They're trying to play with us on many different levels. That's my take on it.
That's okay. Hey, brother, I'm always up for a good game of chess, so bring it on.
Yeah, it just boggles my mind being born in the 50s, and watching what has happened to... What's that?
That's a little before my time.
Yeah, I've been around the block a few times. But the amazing thing to me is just how much has changed since my childhood in the 50s and attending school in the late 50s and 60s. It's incredible. It's just incredible how we have slipped down that slippery slope and how easy it was done to us.
Do you still live in the Southeast?
Yeah.
So you survived the storm, I take it, huh?
Oh, yeah. It was a nothing burger here.
The storm didn't even hit at all like they thought it was going to?
No, we didn't even get anything from the outer bands.
Imagine. Well, they had everybody in Florida scared, though, didn't they?
Oh yeah, they did the exact same thing a couple years ago when Matthew came along. They had us ready to evacuate the southern part of the state, and we got nothing. I mean, absolutely nothing.
A little bit of humor here. I mean, could that be maybe the father's attempt of just messing with him? Be like, oh, I'm gonna send one right at you. Everybody freaks out, and then he diverts it. He's just messing with him, I think. He's playing with them.
Scares everybody.
I mean, the father said he would come like a whirlwind. I mean, come on.
Well, you know, I've said that quite a few times, that when the Bible talks about the great shakening in the heavens and the earth in the books talking about the future events, it doesn't say if it's man-made or natural.
Right. Here's where I'm going with this, brother. Everybody is so scared about the storms. But nobody is scared about the consequences of violating Yahweh's laws. When they die and have to meet him, that's where I'm going with this. They're more scared of a hurricane than eternal damnation. What the hell's wrong with people?
Yeah, that's a good question.
So I'm going to prepare my house, and I'm going to go to the store and buy all the stuff and prepare for battle, folks. Who cares about the hurricane or the next tornado? Prepare for battle against the enemy. Don't be the hurricanes and the tornadoes. Who cares about that stuff? Prepare yourself for real battle.
Yeah.
Who cares about our worldly possessions?
Well, that's it. You can't take them with you, and you're not supposed to worship them anyway.
I don't know if this was down in Florida, but one of those areas where the storm was supposed to hit, somebody took their smart car and put it inside their house.
Is that right?
I'm just saying, yeah, the level that people will go to protect the worldly possessions but not care about their soul, man. I'm laughing, but it's really sad.
You're right.
Jeez.
Hey, let me, Ralph up in Canada is sending in a few things here for financial, that one is a YouTube channel, so I don't know which one it is. Disable Polymer One, is a good channel for European or for, weather news, but he put this one in here, a Jewish historian on Europeans Worldwide.wordpress.com. He just put an article up that said the greatest mass murderers were Jews, and this Jewish historian has agreed with that. And then another article is the incredibly dangerous Trump deception, and that's on a website called stateofthenation2012.com. And again, that's stateofthenation2012.com. The incredible, dangerous Trump deception. I would tell people that that's the danger about Trump, is the fact that they're turning a blind eye to everything he does, just like they did with the Bushes. Okay, the Bushes came out and pretended to be believers, even carrying a Bible. At the same time, they were taking the younger Bush, especially, was taking lessons from a synagogue on the Talmud, so that he could be one of them. But because the preachers were all so excited because he dared to carry a Bible, they thought that was promoting Christian values, when the whole time both of them are devil worshipers. Their whole family is a crime syndicate. And yet Americans went completely deaf and dumb because they thought they were conservatives and true Americans. And that's the problem with Trump. It's happening all over again. They're acting like he is a savior and can do no wrong.
Well, we were just talking about that a little bit ago. That's why we shouldn't be looking to have, maybe one person to get elected and solve all of our world's problems. It's just not that easy, folks. It's just not. Don't trust any of them at the end of the day.
Right.
I mean, because whether it be Trump or Bush, look, when we have to stand before our Father, none of those guys are going to matter anyways. It's going to be what we did. We have to answer to our Father. None of those people are going to matter at that point. We can't say, I knew this and I knew that, but I was hoping, I was hoping Trump would take care of it. It doesn't work that way, folks. We have to be held accountable for our actions, not because of what we hope somebody else might have done for us. We have to take direct action. We'll be responsible for those actions. I'm not looking for any one person to get elected, and everything will be good, and we'll be kumbaya. That's not the way the world works.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Let's face reality, man. On one hand, sure, we live in the greatest country on earth. But on the other hand, look what they do. Chop up little babies. They allow, they're now funneling tax money, so dudes can chop off their parts and become so-called women? This is Sodom and Gomorrah all over again, and we're allowing it.
Oh my gosh, you're right. You're right.
Well, I'm gonna get fired. I'm gonna get fired up on your radio program. Well, I mean, look, folks. I mean, how many examples do you need? They go after Christian bakery owners because they don't. Because okay, look, these bakery owners don't want to participate, but they force them to participate, don't they? Because the minute they say, "Hey, we don't want to participate, bake the gay wedding cake," what does the enemy do? They go after them and claim, "Well, you're discriminating." Well, wait a minute. These people use the power of government to go after these people, force their antichrist religion upon the Christian bakery owners. But in the second sentence, what would these liberals tell you? Well, there's got to be a separation in church and state. Then why are you using the government to go after businesses? Why? And why do we allow it? They sit there and tell us there's a separation of church and state, but then they use the power of government to force their antichrist religion on the Christian bakery owners, and that is a fact.
Yeah. Well, is my...
Because they're hypocrites. They're hypocrites.
Yeah. As my Baptist...
But they get mad if we use the government, right, through elected election process and say... marriage in this state will be one man and one woman, they say that's a violation of separation of church and state, which don't even exist in the Constitution, because they're liars. And they are their fathers. They are liars just like their father Satan.
Yeah, amen.
Yep. Time to get mad, folks. You know, in Michigan, under our state constitution, marriage is still one man and one woman. But because of the way the Supreme Court ruled, they say that overrides our state constitution, even though it's still in our state constitution. Isn't it amazing? It's amazing that a few people on the Supreme Court can override the will of the people in Michigan. And they say
That's
okay. Remember what Justice Scalia said, folks? It's in the gay marriage ruling of the Supreme Court. Go check it out. Justice Scalia told us that the Supreme Court of the United States it's a threat against American democracy. Less than 1 year that he wrote that in that document, they found him dead.
Hmm.
It's in the document, folks. How many people have actually read that in the Supreme Court ruling? It's there.
Wow.
Justice Scalia warned us, didn't he, that even the Supreme Court of the United States is a threat against our freedoms.
Yeah.
Amazing.
They didn't hear
about that on Fox News.
Right, they've turned every agency of government against us, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Incredible.
A few people on the Supreme Court can override the will of the people of Michigan and other states as well. What happens when you have wicked in the government? What does the Bible say? The people mourn.
The people moan. Right.
Yep, yeah. And that's what we're moaning right now. Because of what we're allowing these people to get away with. Oh, but their day is coming, brother. Oh, their day is coming. Whew. That's the day I'm looking forward to.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we're going to get them, and our Heavenly Father's going to get them, too. They got it coming from both sides.
That's for sure. As the good book says, it's better to be harmed for doing good than evil. And that's the stand I've always taken. If harm comes to me, well, I'd rather it be because I'm doing something right and righteous than for doing evil. So that's pretty much what you're basically saying you've come to the decision to do, right? And just like the Stonewall Jackson said in the Civil War.
And I'm like that little Rottweiler. While I'm on this earth, I'm like that little Rottweiler. I'm coming, right? I'm coming. But really, they don't even have to worry about me so much as when they die and have to face our father. But our father's going to be like, remember that little Rottweiler dude was always riding you? But now you got to deal with me. That's going to be much worse.
Yeah.
They should have listened to the Rottweiler. You know what I mean? I'm just one little dude with a loud mouth, and I like to use it and put them on notice that I know what they're doing is violating our Constitution. And you know, they're violating biblical scripture. But that little Rottweiler just keeps coming after them. They can't figure it out, but they're going to figure it out.
Yeah.
They should have listened. What did our Heavenly Father do in the temple? Did he just go in there and try to play nice with them? No, took the whip in there, gave them all a beating. the money changers. We call it the Federal Reserve today. Come on, folks.
Well, these preachers are a big part of the problem.
We need somebody to go into our House of Representatives with a whip and give them all a good whipping.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be like our... What I'm trying to say is we have to be like our Heavenly Father. Grab the whip and start whipping.
Beat them out of the temple.
There we go. Yeah. What did our Founding Fathers lay down and play dead? No, sir. No, sir. They stood their ground. That's what we have to do. Be like our Heavenly Father. Be like our Founding Fathers. Take the enemy head on. That's what they're afraid of, isn't it? That's why they're trying to disarm us. That's why they want to try to censor us and take away our free speech. They don't want us to tell people. They don't want us to tell other people, Pastor Dan. They don't want us to be telling other people to arm themselves. They're coming after our right to free speech, our right to keep and bear arms. Who are these people, man, to tell us what we can or can't say or what we can or can't, you know, carry as far as firearms? Because they are the enemy. Of course they're going to try to come after us. I expect it. I'm
right.
Looking forward to it. I'm not. Yep. I mean, they want us to be afraid. Almost every year, right around tax season, what do? They run some headlines about people that got in trouble for tax evasion to keep the people afraid.
Oh, yeah.
Stop being afraid, folks. Stop being afraid of these people.
Yeah. Right. Well,
what's there to be afraid of? We should be more afraid of what our Heavenly Father is going to do to us than what anybody on this earth can even do to us.
Right. When the righteous stand firm, the wicked flee.
And more people on this earth are more scared of the government. They're scared of the hurricanes and the tornadoes. They're more scared about all those things than what's going to happen on the Day of Judgment.
Yeah, you're right about that.
I said my rant for the day, brother.
Well, it's a righteous indignation, Randy, so it's a good thing.
I mean, hey, as long as you're not a crooked politician or a corrupt politician, you don't have to worry about my little Rottweiler coming after you. So be grateful for that.
Yeah. Any words of preparation you'd want to give to our potential militia members out there? Any, basics?
Anything the government doesn't want you to have, that's what you need to buy. If they don't want you to specifically have an AR-15 or something like that, that's what you need to buy. If the crooked politicians in California don't want you to have high-capacity magazines, it's exactly what you need. If there's certain kinds of ammunition they don't want you to have or they're attempting to ban it, you need to stock up on those things. Buy them as a way of sending them a message. But, I mean, you know, the only reason why I have an AR-15 is because they don't want me to have it. I could really honestly care less to even have it. But because they don't want me to have it, I would not buy one. Just
right.
just to take my thumb into their eye. Just to thumb them. They don't want me to have it, so I wouldn't buy one. I'm being real with you, brother. That's why I bought it. They don't want me to have high-capacity magazines. I went out and bought a box full of them.
Yeah.
What are they going to do?
Well, you're right.
Dead with these people.
Yeah. Colonel,
I don't care what Diane Feinstein says or Barbara. Who cares? They don't want you to have them. Go out and buy a box of them. You know, you could still buy high-capacity magazines fairly cheap for a whole variety of weapons. They're still fairly cheap.
Right.
They come after, was it the bump stocks? Oh, they don't want us to have those. Supposedly, they've actually banned them from what I heard. And some people might think, well, I would never want something like that. Those are stupid. Well, it doesn't matter, folks. They just keep chipping away.
Right.
That's
gradually.
They won't just straight up come for gun confiscation. They're smarter than that. They know they can't. That's like putting the frog in the boiling water. If you turn up the fire too hot too quickly, the frog jumps out. So what do? They start banning accessories. And by the time they're done, there won't be anything left.
Right. Yeah, you're right.
If you could buy a trigger at that point, because they keep chipping. They go after the bump stocks. They go after the high-capacity magazines, certain kinds of ammo. They're chipping away. Don't be naive.
Yeah, you're right. That's definitely, well, we've said that that's the...
I'm like that little bulldog coming at the enemy, man. I'm on them, man. I know what they're up to. And then at the same time, how do they try to deny us our right to free speech? This has been in the news recently and throughout the years. You had Rahm Emanuel, the video's on YouTube. One of the ways that they wanted to try to take away our right to keep and bear arms is by putting you on the no-fly list. And guess what? They simply put you on the list. You never have a hearing, a court date, trial by jury, none of that. And because they merely put you on a list, they wanted to be able to use that as a way to say that, well, we think that you might be engaged in terrorism. So we're going to put you on this list to just deny you all your rights.
Right.
Rahm Emanuel talked about that. I'm sure many of you have seen the video. It's on YouTube. And now we've heard about red flag, what do they call it, the red flag laws. Basically, now they're saying, well, you know, if you have a mental condition, wow. Who gets to decide that? A bunch of people who don't like guns in the first place? Maybe they get to sit on a panel and decide who gets to have these rights. Who are they to decide who has rights in this country or not? Do you see how dangerous this is, folks? If you look what the Supreme Court, for example, did with gay marriage. A few people who are pretty much liberal, communist, love gay people, right, get to decide that the people of Michigan and all these other states, oh, man, they didn't know what they were doing. We're just gonna overrule them. They'll do that exact same thing with your right to keep and bear arms. Be careful.
Yep. Well, that's the line in the sand, isn't it?
For the most part, we've allowed them to get away with they do little by little. They're like, oh, okay, we're going to, with the whole gay rights issue, okay, we're going to try this. And they got away with it. I think at some point they're going to go for the guns. I really do. They're coming with these red flag laws and this whole, they're going to pass it off as, well, it's a mental health issue. But look, folks. You know what they're going to say? Well, you're one of them Bible believers. You love the Founding Fathers too much. You're a hardcore constitutionalist. You're crazy. Rights denied.
Well, they've been...
They'll say, you believe in a sky god. You must be crazy. Rights denied.
Right.
Right. It's dangerous, folks. It's dangerous when you will start allowing any type of government to get to decide who has rights and who doesn't. Very, very dangerous. And I think even President Trump come out and said I think he's starting to maybe realize that red flag laws are bad. And I think the word that he used is, well, it's a slippery slope. You damn right it is. It's a slippery slope.
He recognizes it's a slippery slope, but what are they doing about it? What are they doing about it to reverse it?
He's sending out a lot of, like, mixed signals, right? Because, you know, they start talking about this red flag laws, and then we see them getting some kind of flack or pushback, and then they're kind of hinting at, well, okay, maybe that wasn't a good idea. So we have to keep the pressure on these people to let them know that, hey, we're watching. And just because, you know, there may be Trump supporters out there doesn't mean that we give Trump a free pass. Because when he starts messing up, we're like that little bulldog, man. We go right after him. We don't care. Democrat, Republican, we don't care. You start coming at our rights, we're like a bulldog. We're going to ride on. We're going to ride right on you. We don't care who you are.
Yeah.
And that's the problem with most people in the Republican Party, for example. When their Republican buddies are trying to do something, they just all go along with it. Why is that? Just because they're in the same political party? No. When your buddy messes up, you call them on it. Doesn't matter who they are.
Right.
But, you know, Democrats always want to fight with the Republicans, and they go back and forth. No, no, no. And that's why I'm so hardcore on these Republicans in Midland, Michigan. Okay? Because, you know, a lot of my views may be considered Republican Party type stuff. I don't give them a free pass. I don't give anybody a free pass.
Right.
And for years, brother, I have come against my own people more hardcore than blacks or Mexicans because our people should know better. Our people need to have their feet held to the fire. Our people are the ones that are allowing this treason to take place. It's our people's fault. Our people, our government, have allowed these third worlders to flood into our country. It's our people that are allowing this, and I'm going to hold them accountable.
Yeah, you're right. Well, I'll tell you what, we are in some perilous times. There is no doubt about that. So I would agree with what the gentleman that will be on Wednesday night and what you and Ken have said so far today here is these are very dangerous times. A lot of rhetoric going on out there is very, very bad, even if they don't accomplish it, just the fact that they're saying it, that they feel that they can get up in front of cameras and say the stuff they're saying is dangerous.
And I want to end it with this, brother. It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, what they try to do to us, remember, folks, it doesn't matter if a Democrat gets in there and takes away all our rights or Republicans. Remember what the Declaration of Independence says. Whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right and it is the duty of the people to alter it, to abolish it, and to institute new government. And what I'm trying to say here is, just because they may come out and say, well, you don't have the right to have to keep and bear arms anymore, doesn't mean we have to turn them in. We fight, and I choose to fight.
Yep. Amen to that. Well, there's a fight coming, whether people want it or not. There's a fight coming.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But unfortunately, brother, so many of them are going to be blindsided by it because their preachers told them the rapture is coming, and it's not coming.
No. They'll be taken away, all right. They'll be taken away in buses and trucks.
You sure you
want to
go on for another hour? Because let's go on for another hour because I'm just getting warmed up, to be honest with you.
Oh, no, we don't. There is no time limit. Like I said, you know, they think they're going to be taken away in this rapture into heaven, but they're actually going to be taken away in buses to camps where they'll be sorted out, the ones that are trainable and the ones
that
aren't.
Think about it. Because I don't want to sound like doom and gloom, right? Think about this, folks. Think about what's going to happen to people in the government, people that are associated with Planned Parenthood and all that. Think about what's going to happen to these people on the Day of Judgment. When they have to stand before our Father Almighty and answer for those things. Whew. I'm glad I'm not one of them. I'm going to tell you that. I'm glad I'm not an abortion doctor. I'm going to tell you that.
Yeah, or an organ harvesting doctor. Or the people
Man,
grinding.
There's going to be a lot of gnashing of teeth. Oh,
yep.
Boy.
Or the people grinding
and
what are they
going to tell our Heavenly Father? Well, a woman had a right to choose. Get out of here, you know? Jeez. Women had rights. It was a woman's body. You know, it was her body. They're going to say all these things to our family. Look what the lawyers are going to say. Oh, I object. I want to take this to the Supreme Court. I can hear all the gnashing of teeth. Oh, boy, I can hear it now. The lawyers are going to be the biggest people that are going to squirm. Because, you know, all their trickery and all their, you know, all their stuff that they do in these courtrooms, not going to work with the Founding Father. He is the law. He is the judge. He is our king. And the day of judgment is coming.
Yep.
I mean, what are
right
the politicians going to say? What are the politicians going to say? Hey, where's Donnie, my buddy in the Republican Party, man? Can you see if he can get me out of this trouble over here? No, no. Not with our Heavenly Father. No, no, no. There is no good old boy system there. He's going to lay down the hammer, and that's the way it's going to go down. There is not going to be any backdoor deals. You're going to stand at the day of judgment, and you're going to hear it straight from the horse's mouth. And they're not going to like it, are they?
No, of course not.
They think all these things that they've been doing behind closed doors that nobody knows about it? Come on. Heavenly Father knows all things.
Well, we read in Malachi chapter 4 that, yeah, the great and terrible day, those that are doing wicked deeds are going to be consumed, root and branch.
Boy, there's so many of them, brother. There's so many of them.
There'll be a lot of land available to rebuild on because there won't be much of a population left. You can see that coming, can't you?
Oh, absolutely.
So people better be used to how to maintain a 10,000-acre ranch or farm because we're going to have lots of vacant land to build on and raise animals and grow crops and all that kind of stuff because the majority of the people walking this earth aren't going to be around much longer because they are doing the wicked things. And they love it so. No repentance. Have you guys been doing much to make people aware of the dangers of these different radio frequencies and 5G and all that?
Other than the smart meters, that's not a whole lot of stuff that I know a lot about.
Oh, okay.
To be honest with you, I mean there's so much coming at us. I can only consume so much. I mean, like I said, I'm like this like little Rottweiler, man. I'm spending so much time right now chasing after these, you know, county officials and whatnot. I mean, there's so much coming at us. It's hard to keep up with all the news.
Oh, I agree.
I'm trying, but there's so much coming down the pike. But we just keep on, brothers. We just keep on.
Yeah, that's for sure. Oh, my goodness. The Europeansworldwide.wordpress.com, folks need to go check it out. Ralph keeps posting a lot of their stuff up here. Apparently, they've got some really good material to wake up, but I love the name Europeans Worldwide, so .wordpress.com.
You want to hear something funny?
What's that?
Recently, this Midland County sheriff guy that I've been telling you guys about, they put on their Facebook account that they were, I guess they were trying to hire some part-time deputies or somebody to work in the jail or something. And I put right on there with my real Facebook name and everything, folks. I put right on there, hire me so I can come and arrest you. I put, sheriff, hire me so I can come and arrest you and have you tried by a jury of your peers. there's no reason to be afraid of these people, folks. Let them know that you're not afraid. They want you to be afraid, but let them know you're not.
Well, the fires that burn within your eyes frighten them. I've been in the courtroom when an Israelite is full of indignation against them.
Well, I mean, I can only imagine what their discussions about me when you know, in their little private rooms. Man, we kicked them out of the Republican Party. We chased after them with the city ordinance, found them guilty, you know, with we rammed them through a system. We forced a court-appointed attorney down his throat who submitted no evidence that could have got him off, and he's still chasing after us, like that little pit bull, man, that little Rottweiler. I'm not stopping. I don't care what they do to me. Come on. I want a fight, and I'm looking for one. To be honest with you, I'm looking for a fight. I'm not done with these people.
Well,
I am unloading on my enemy.
Right.
What do I got to lose? What are they going to do? Oh, you're calling us traitors and communists. Yeah, because what you are.
Right.
I say it like it is. And they're like little snowflakes. And they were like little snowflakes in that courtroom, brother. He called us, this is over 10 years ago. He called us traitors and communists. Yeah. And I ordered the court transcripts, and I posted them on my website to show people the snowflakes these people are.
Yeah.
I took actual copies of the transcript and plastered them on my website. What are they going to do?
Yeah.
I'm not afraid of them.
Hey, do you want to give out your website?
Yeah. It's a website, but I also do some podcasting on there, and it's WNNradio.com. You can look, and I keep my little podcast kind of short and simple, somewhere around 10 to 15 minutes. And, you know, I get on there, man. There's no donations, not selling nothing, no commercials. I just say what I got to say, and I leave it at that. I try to keep it short and simple. Like, you know, like I rant and rave on here quite a bit. But on my radio podcast, I just keep it short and simple. There's copies of transcripts, what happened between me and the city of Midland. It's all on there, folks. It's all on there.
So that's Whiskey Nancy Nancy Radio.net,
yep,
right?
Radio.net. Yep. And I've got court transcripts, stuff that's happened to me over the years. It's all on there. Yep. You get to hear my, because, you know, a lot of times people hear about me, you know, from the news perspective, which, you know, they're very fake and biased. So the reason for because I used to do podcasting years ago, but I got a little disheartened, a little, you know, discouraged. But I brought it back, and now people that want to hear what happened to me from my perspective get a chance to hear it from me and not the fake news.
Yeah, that's true. Go around them. Yeah.
Oh, and I'm getting ready to unload on the Midland County Republican Party because what they did to me years ago, they kicked me out of my position, right? And but they allowed a known pedophile. Of course, you know, they'll probably claim, well, we didn't know. Well, it doesn't matter. Look, they kicked me out, but this guy got to stay in, and I've got the pictures, court documents. I'm fixing to unload on them. And I can't wait to see how they try to squirm out of it. It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Because I've got screenshots of one of their party people talking. There was something that got brought up in the news, and they tried to like use me for a scapegoat. You know, they're like, well, you know, we took an unprecedented stand against Randy Gray, and you know, we kicked him out of office because he's a racist. Wait a minute. You didn't take an unprecedented stand against a convicted pedophile, but you come after me.
Right.
So I'm getting ready to unload. I've got screenshots, court documents, pictures of this guy. I'm going to unload on him like you've never seen. I'm coming.
Mm-hmm.
And I've already hinted at the enemy of what I'm fixing to do to him. And I said, you know, it's got a little bit of the information, podcast coming, and boom, that's where all the pictures and court transcripts are going. All of it.
Well, there you...
I even called them and left them a message and said, here's what I have against you. I will give you the courtesy of 24 hours to call me back. They didn't give me 24 hours. They just kicked me out of the party. They never asked me anything.
Mm-hmm.
I was nice enough to give them a 24-hour notice. Of course, this has been several days now, so they've had a lot of time to pick up the phone, call me, and say, hey, what's the problem? They didn't do it, so now I'm going to unload on them. That's what they would do to us, right?
Yeah.
So, that would
be. Yeah, absolutely. There's no doubt about it.
And I'm going to tell you, this convicted pedophile has got an interesting connection to a church, which is also connected to an elected person in Michigan who claims to be a big conservative Christian. Really? And I've got this convicted pedophile pegged right to his church. Oh, I'm coming. They're real big conservative Christians. Okay. We're gonna let the court of public opinion see what I have. And they can make their own decision. What do they say about justice, brother? Sweet, sweet justice. I love it. Revenge is sweet justice. Oh yeah, I'm coming. The very people right now, the majority of what's on my website is the same political party that come after me. Look what I've now got on them, including a judge, a deputy sheriff, the party itself. They come after me years ago. Look at all the dirt I got on them. It's all over my website right now. Oh, boy, I'm coming. It feels good, too, man. It feels real good. You know, the judge that was in charge of my case years ago, it wasn't the main case, but it was just the, what do they call it? You know, where you basically, it's like a pretrial thing where you just go in and you plead guilty or not guilty. That very judge was involved in some questionable, he supposedly made some questionable sexual comments to a female worker in that courthouse. Of course, this was after my court case, right? But, yeah. You know, they didn't actually, like, kick him out of the Republican Party for doing that. The county ended up paying a bunch of money for investigations. I don't think he ever really admitted to it, but, of course, there was a settlement. You all know what that means. And he conveniently resigned because of health reasons. The same political party that come after me for being a so-called racist. Look what they're involved in.
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing. Mind-blowing. The stuff they get away with. In fact, the deputy sheriff, who's now running for sheriff, during my case, because he was a witness, he's also in the Republican Party, made one statement to the police and then testified completely different. The transcripts and my request for an investigation, all that stuff is on my website. I got nothing to hide. These people are liars. They say one thing to the police, and then when they go testify, they say something else. And I've got the transcripts, the investigation report, everything. And they completely get away with this stuff. There's no accountability.
Oh, amen to that.
But you go after the establishment, boy, do they come after you. Oh, that's fine. I'm expecting another round with them when I get done with them.
I just wish more people would get the fire.
Now I'm like that little Rottweiler. I'm on that actual the elected sheriff in Midland County. I'm like that little Rottweiler. Now I'm on his ass, brother. Oh, I'm coming. Like I said, I'm just trying to be transparent about what I say and what I'm doing, and that's the main reason for the website, is to show people actual, not my opinion about what the transcript says, but actual pictures of it, the source information, the page number, actual pictures of it, all the stuff. I want to be as transparent about what I'm doing as I possibly can.
Yeah. Well,
I have nothing to hide. I have nothing to hide.
Yeah, that's the smart way to do it. Put it all out there.
Let me just say it like this. What I believe to be the key piece of evidence in my court case, remember, they ran the court-appointed attorney down my throat, which would let, because I'm not a lawyer. At the time, I figured, okay, I'm going to use this guy to my advantage because, you know, he's going to know some things about the system that I don't know. But he never submitted the evidence, of course, right, to the judge. Because there was three elements of the case. One of them, the main one, had to be a lawful meeting. Well, through Freedom of Information Act request, I discovered the Republican Party didn't go through the application process to use the meeting room that they claimed I was disrupting, right?
Yeah.
So they didn't follow the application process, and I got a letter back saying, hey, there is no application. Okay, so they weren't technically allowed to use that room, but they did, and then they claimed I was disrupting it. Don't you feel that would have been a key piece of information to prove whether this was a lawful meeting or not? And the jury never got to see it because they railroaded me, man. And even during that case, which the transcripts, again, are on the website, the city attorney had actually specifically mentioned, he's not being silenced. He's not being railroaded. What the hell do you call that? If evidence isn't allowed to go before a judge and then over to the jury to try to prove my innocence, that's railroading. That's exactly what they did to me, and all the proof is on the website.
Yeah. Yeah, that's that's textbook railroading.
See, they don't have to follow the rules to use the room, but then complain that I was disrupting a meeting. But they weren't even supposed to be there.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Go figure that one out. Just saying.
Yeah. Oh, Lordy, buddy. I don't know. It's amazing.
But I don't stop, brother. I don't stop. You know what I mean? I don't stop. I'm like that little Rottweiler. I keep coming for more.
Yeah. You're a good example, Randy. I just wish it would spill over onto a whole lot more of our men.
With everything that this party has done to me and what I'm doing to them now, believe me, I'm having a ball. It's my day now. And I told them years ago, because this was one of the things they come after me for, because I told them, your day is coming. And their day, it's been over 10 years, but their day has finally come. And now I'm getting my justice from them. I'm delivering on my promises, brother. I told them, your day is coming. I told them. And now it's coming.
Yep. Well, oh, man.
They judged me, right? Isn't it only fair that I judge them?
Well, the righteous are supposed to judge these folks.
They said that I was a racist and an anti-Semite. Oh, boy. They didn't hurt my feelings, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, well, those are key words. Those are buzzwords that the enemy likes to use in their ad hominem attacks on us.
Right. Well, you know. And they let a convicted pedophile stay in their party. So I don't want to be a part of their party anyways. If that's the kind of people they got in the Midland County Republican Party, a convicted pedophile, I mean, who wants to be a part of that?
Yeah. Well, it does show where the sign of the times when, like you said, because of your stand for being pro-white and natural law.
And I did a podcast about that. You know, when I stood, just like many other people did, in Knoxville, Tennessee, and we were trying to awaken people to the terrible murders that took place. You know, even that was over 10 years ago. and people still find that video on YouTube and try to use that against me to prove that I'm a racist or something. I mean, I was standing for a couple of white kids that got brutally murdered by all these blacks, and then people point to that video and say, see, there's the proof, he's a racist. Really?
Yeah. Isn't that something? They don't have anything to say about the brutal murder of the white children.
Right? Yeah, the ones that actually did the crime, committed the crime, the ones that are all still sitting in jail or prison, they never focus on them. They point at me and say, he's the problem. He's the racist. I didn't do anything wrong but tell people the truth. That was it. Is that my crime? Is that what I'm guilty of, telling people the truth and they hate me for it? I mean, golly.
Yeah, you're right.
Wow. But people, even as recently, brother, as this year, people, liberals, communists, people that hate me, point to that video and say, see, he is a racist. Wow. Wow. That's all I got to say, man. Wow.
Yeah.
I'm the bad guy. Wow. It's all you can do is sit back and be like, really? What have I done to these people? Except try to tell them, just like what you're doing. You just try to tell people the truth, and they hate you for it. It's like, wow. But these are the same people, brother, that say, whoa, we got to be tolerant. They're not tolerant of us. But I'll tell you, we are actually more tolerant of them, because look at the stuff that we've allowed them to get away with. Who's the real tolerant ones here?
Yeah.
I tell you, bro, we have had people like myself, you, many other people, look at the kind of restraint that we have exercised. I mean, because we could have quickly went up to a physical war with these people years ago. I believe we have exercised compassion, tolerance, and extreme, just kind of holding back, you know, because we don't want to overreact too quickly. But I tell you, and all of this, man, compared to what they have done, what we've allowed them to get away with, we're the ones that have been too tolerant, in my opinion.
Right.
We've allowed them to get away with way too much.
Well, you know, John Mark has a thing up there from the Propertarian website where they talk about the fact that if you do any honest research, the societies and the people that survive in this world, the real world, are the intolerant ones, not the tolerant ones. So, you know, the enemy used sophistry and propaganda to get us to believe that tolerance was somehow good for us, when in fact nature teaches that tolerance is actually the way to bring down a people. So...
It is, because, like, let's go back to the Christian bakery owners. Most communities, most have more than one bakery. If these homosexual deviants went to a bakery shop and they got turned away, you know, common sense would tell you, just go find a bakery that'll bake you a stupid gay wedding cake, right? But no, that's not the plan. The plan is to force the Christian bakery owners, to force them to participate, just like they forced all of us to participate through taxation with abortions. The whole idea is to force us to participate in their ungodliness and their antichrist ways. They want to force us to participate in some way, direct or indirect, whatever, it don't matter, but they will find a way. And that's what they're doing.
Right.
Through whether it be taxation or whatever.
Yeah, you're right. Well, I don't know, bud. I think we're going to see some major upheaval and change here real quick.
So what I want to know is, everybody that's listening to this radio program, are you ready to be a Rottweiler? Because that's what I'm looking for, man. I'm looking for more people to become the Rottweilers against your local, state, federal officials. Be like a Rottweiler. I'm asking you, folks, that's what I want you to do in your own communities. When you see things that are being done that aren't right, speak up, be bold, don't be a gay. Run against these people in elections, write your letters to them. Doesn't matter if they respond or not, put them on notice. Be like a Rottweiler. Go for them, brother. Start chewing them up. Because I tell you what, there's a few of us, but what happens when the few turns into hundreds. Hundreds turn into thousands. Thousands turn into millions. We're unstoppable.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we're much more powerful than we think we are.
That's true.
And all of a sudden, you got all these politicians. When these politicians start realizing they got these hundreds and thousands or millions of little Rottweilers on them, oh, boy, they're going to start to think twice about pulling some shenanigans. Oh, yeah. We want them to be afraid of us and our Heavenly Father. We don't need to be afraid of them.
Right.
So, be like a Rottweiler, man. That's what I'm asking people to do.
Yep. One of the listeners said it, a yapping poodle.
Regardless of the results, because believe me, they'll try to shut you up, they'll try to ignore it. Doesn't matter. Keep going after them. Just keep going. Doesn't matter what they do. Doesn't matter if we get the results, you know, right away. Just keep on going. And don't look back.
Well, we talked about that story in the New Testament where the woman wasn't getting justice and she was persistent in nagging him until she finally got justice. So,
I'll give you another example. That recently, a county prosecutor, which because I've got some Freedom of Information Act requests out there and letters, I'm waiting on for some responses. Recently, a county prosecutor hung up on me because I sent out a letter back in April. I shouldn't have waited so long to do a follow-up, but I got around to doing a follow-up, said, hey, I hadn't got a response to my letter. The county prosecutor hung up on me. Oh, wrong. I hit the redial, got on the phone with him again. He was much nicer to me that second time because I reminded him that he's an elected person and I have a right to have my letters answered. And he said, Mr. Gray, fax the letter again and I'll send you a response. I said, thank you, sir. Have a nice day. Be like a Rottweiler.
Yeah.
We don't. They may hang up on you. They may ignore you. That you call them right back. We're not trying to be like, you know, we're not trying to be disorderly with them. Or hey, we have questions. We want answers. Simple as that.
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely no doubt about it.
And these Freedom of Information Act requests and letters that I'm talking about right now. Eventually, when I get responses and stuff like that, it'll all be on the website, so everybody knows.
Mm-hmm.
All complete transparency about what I'm doing to these people. Complete transparency. It's more than they'll do to us, I guarantee you. Because they operate in secrecy. I operate out in the open.
Right. Yeah, good point.
Public report, or the court of public opinion.
Yep. I'm trying to capture some of the stuff that our friend here is putting in the chat.
I know Brother Dan for a long time, man. How long you been doing these radio shows? You are like that Rottweiler, man. You've been doing radio for how many years?
20 years.
Yeah, longer than I've been involved.
Yeah, it's been quite a journey.
It may seem like there's only really a small amount of us, but when that doubles and triples and it starts to grow and grow and grow, we're unstoppable, folks. There is power in numbers. Now, I mean, we're not focused on numbers per se, but as we go along this journey, we awaken other people, and those people start to engage in activity, and the numbers just naturally get bigger as you wake more people up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true.
We're unstoppable, though. We really are.
Well, as you said, all it takes is action, people to do something, you know.
And that's what they're afraid of. The government is always trying to be one step ahead of us, right? That's why, the red flag laws, trying to take away, this accessory and that accessory. They're trying to stop they're trying to prevent what they know is going to come. They know what they did is wrong, okay? They know that there's going to be judgment coming from the people, and they're trying to prevent it. Because, let's face it, they know what they've done are many acts of treason, and they know the people aren't. Look throughout history. All throughout history, okay, government got away with a certain amount of stuff for a period of time. Eventually the people rose up and took them out. And this was going to be no different they know there will come a time when the people will rise up. Nobody knows when that will happen, but they're trying to prevent it. Because what they've been doing, look what they've been doing. All the acts of what, the lies, the treason, they know that they're going to have to face this one day. And they don't want to face millions of people with AR-15s with high-capacity magazines. Just saying it like it needs to be said.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not, Pastor Dan, and I don't want people to take this the wrong way, okay? It's not like we were just out looking for a fight. These people were asking for it. These people are out there trying to deny us our rights. They're the ones chopping up little babies. We didn't ask for any of this, but we're not going to just sit idle by and continue it to happen. That's what I'm getting at.
Right.
They caused it. There's going to, you know, what do they say? When there's a cause, there's a reaction. Well, look at all their ungodliness. There's going to be a reaction to that. And that's why our Heavenly Father has us on this earth. He didn't put us all on this earth so when times got bad, oh, I'm just going to rapture those people out of there before it gets too bad. No. What would be the purpose of having us on this earth if we're not going to clean up the mess?
Well, that is what we're here for. You're right.
Yes, absolutely. We are here to confront the Antichrist.
Yeah, exactly right.
Everything. People call us liberals, Democrats, left-wing, whatever. Look at what they do compared to what the Bible says. Everything they do is contrary to the heaven, to what our Bible and our Father says for us to do. Everything that they do is the opposite. Everything. Because they're the Antichrist. And there's some preachers out there saying, oh, the Antichrist, he's going to come and he's going to do this and that. Look, Antichrist is already here. He just disguised himself as a Democrat, Republican, liberal, whatever. They just keep, you know, they have all these names that they use. But look at their actions. Their actions are of their father, the devil.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
there's
actions speak louder.
There's nothing holy about chopping up little babies. Of course, they try, well, it's a woman's right. They call it whatever they want. It's evil.
Yeah, you're right. You
and
are right.
To go along with it by saying, well, you know, a woman's got a right to choose. No, no, no. She lost that right to choose when she laid down. And, you know, we don't have to get graphic. I'm just saying. She lost that right when she decided to have sex.
Yeah. Yep, it's quite a mess, but it's fixable. That's the beautiful part. It's all fixible, and actually it's quite easily fixable.
If you're willing to take them on, brother.
If you're willing to take them on, that's right.
Yep. Founding fathers didn't lay down, did they? Ooh. They weren't asking for the war, but when the war came, they stood their ground.
Yeah. Time to draw a line in the sand and say we're done backing up. That's the way it looks to me.
What choice do we have?
Well, that's it. You know, when there's an old saying that says if you want me to respect, right? If you want me to respect the law, then make respectable laws.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Or the quote of the Roman Emperor Trajan to his legionnaires. He said, use that sword against my enemy as long as I give you righteous commands. If I
Absolutely.
Give you unrighteous commands, then use those swords against me.
Absolutely.
So.
Absolutely. And that's what we're saying, man. We're to judge righteously. When we see wrongs being committed, we speak out against them.
Right.
Otherwise, our silence, you know, if we're silent about it, it's like we're almost complicit in the situation if we're not willing to speak out against it. And then we wonder why things get worse and worse.
Silence is tacit approval.
There you go.
Yep, you're right. Well, buddy, you're on fire. There's no doubt about that, so praise Yahweh.
No, I want to take it to this level. You know, this person I found out was a convicted pedophile actually found out where he got his credentials, we'll say, to become a preacher. That kind of ties him into this whole church thing. I wrote a letter. Now, this was just, it turns out to be like an online, non-accredited type situation. But I wrote to him anyways to let him know about this convicted pedophile. You know, instead of, like, thanking me for the information, let me back up. The first response I got was, we didn't know any of this. I was like, okay. So I wrote to him back, will there be any consequences? I thought maybe, okay, they'll pull his credentials, you know, they'll say, hey, you weren't forthcoming, so we're going to, we'll revoke whatever we've given you, certificate, diplomas, we'll revoke it. I thought that's what they would do. But they actually wrote back to me, tried to play a little compassion at first, but then it said that, well, we did some research, and according to the state of Michigan, this might be construed as harassment by you sending us this information. Can you believe that? They tried to make me the bad guy.
I can believe it.
Look, I wasn't harassing the individual. I wasn't harassing the pedophile. I was trying to bring this people that have given this guy some sort of recognition of being a minister. I was giving them a heads up and like, hey, this guy's got questionable character. You should know about this. And they try to turn it on me like I'm harassing the person. But at least it's documented now that if this pedophile was to do anything, this online school and church that he's affiliated with, they can't come out and say now, well, we didn't know, because they do know. I put them on notice.
Right. Exactly. Yep. I've used the same tactic with some of the people here locally to get them to do the right thing. Is I told them that it is now part of the record that you've been notified. So if anything happens,
you can't plead
plausible deniability.
And I didn't respond back, and I left it at that. I figured I think they were probably looking for a mean response back. I'm not going to give them that opportunity. I did my job. I put them on notice. If the guy does anything that hits the news or anything like that, I'll be right there like a bulldog. That they knew about, that church knew about it, that school knew about it. Here's the proof. I'll be on them.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to warn them. Yep. But nope. There's actually a lot of this in the news. If you do a search about convicted pedophiles and the whole church thing, there's actually this big issue of liability. Because if these are known pedophiles in these churches, and they were to, maybe do something again, the church really does have a liability problem, especially if they're a known pedophile, and they don't do anything about it to protect the children, and they allow something bad to happen. That's a liability, folks. That really is.
Right.
These pedophiles are always trying to find a way to get to the children. Isn't that interesting? So many pedophiles out there try to find God after they commit these heinous crimes to children. It's my opinion that they're not so much trying to seek forgiveness from the Father. They're going to these churches because that's where kids are, and that's the danger.
And gullible white people.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they're trying to use our Heavenly Father to get to children.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're the ones that own most of these charities and foundations that are supposed to be set up to help the children. They're actually just the place to find children that are accessible and vulnerable.
Yes. Yeah. Like I said, instead of thanking me for the information, they tried to turn it on me like I was committing a crime of harassment, really. That's interesting.
Well, they're just mouthing what the legal department tells them, and who controls the legal departments in most cases? The Antichrist.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, oh, man. What a mess,
They're not
going
to stop me, brother. They're not going to. I'll tell you, man. That little Rottweiler, man, he's coming for all of them.
Oh, man. Well, if the militias would just start organizing and start supporting guys like you, it wouldn't take a whole lot of them to get the ball rolling. The militias need to be, the citizen soldiers need to stand up and say, enough is enough, and get behind guys like you that are righteous in your decision making, and just take them and make a stand. I mean, really, that's all it's going to take. At least that's the way I see it. Huh?
Because, you know, I mean, nobody else is doing anything about it, man. I mean, that's where we come in. We see the problem. We're directing the soldiers to take action here. I'm doing as much as I can in Michigan. I'm doing as much as I can to these people, man.
Yeah. Well, it's like the walls of Jericho. If we all just keep at it, eventually it'll come down.
I don't want to have to stand before the Father. You know, the Father's going to ask us, of course, he already knows the answer, right? He's going to say, you saw all these bad things going on. What did you feel about it? I don't want to stand there and be like, I knew all the stuff, but I was too scared. Didn't want to do anything. I don't want to be that guy.
Right. Yeah, you're right about that. That would not be pleasant.
Think about the amount of technology that we have to get the word out there. Our founding fathers didn't have anything like this, folks. You know, there's this radio program or websites. We have so much technology that we have to get the word out there. Use it. Use it while you can.
Yeah, that's true. As the old saying, make hay while the sun shines, you know?
Absolutely.
Storms are coming. The rains are coming, yeah. So make hay now, buddy.
Blow the trumpet. Blow the trumpets.
Blow the trumpet. Exactly. Wow. All right, bro.
And think about that, man. You look at the government and all the weapons and stuff that they could. I mean, they could do some really nasty. Let's not be naive. They can do some really nasty stuff to us. But with all that, here we are, man. We're just hammering away at them, man, with no fear. I mean, what are they going to do to us?
Well, we have the Psalm 91 force field around us.
Against all odds, we still tell people the truth.
Yeah. Yep. One of our listeners is put in with exclamation marks after testosterone. There's no doubt about your testosterone level, but seriously, that is a problem.
High. It's running pretty high, to be honest with you.
Well, I know it is. That's easy to recognize. But
and you've known me for a long time, brother. I've always been like this for many years. And don't get me wrong. I mean, there's times I get frustrated like everybody else, wish things would happen a little bit quicker than that they do. And, you know, you even gave up for a little while as far as doing my radio program. But, you know, we just can't stop, man. We really can't.
No, I think the Father's poking at lots of people based on the calls I got in the last couple of days and what you're saying here. It seems like the Holy Spirit's putting a cattle prod in the backside of a lot of our guys. So that's another reason why I think we're on a, how should we say it? We're on the verge of some significant things happening between now and the end of this year and early next year. I really think it's right around the corner.
Yep.
So you're a sign of the times, Randy.
And we all are, man. I mean, there's a lot of us that are engaged against the enemy. We all do it. We're all together in the same fight, but we all just have we have different perspectives, different ways that we fight them.
Right.
Which is good. Because, you know, there's not really one way they come at us because we're hitting them at many different levels, many different ways. I mean, you know, they can't really, and we don't all live, like, in one little area. I mean, we are scattered. I mean, so from their perspective, how are they going to defeat us? I mean, we're scattered. We use many different, you know, forms of technology against them. So.
That's true. Ralph has put in here that they're counting on their final failsafe being the Operation Talpiot plan, which is the Israeli backdoors and most of the software in our devices to kill the infrastructure, but it won't work.
No, I think they've waited too long to go for this.
Well, I think there's people working on patches for what they've done. There's people much smarter than we are that realize that the Israelis have been doing these works of treason for quite some time. I believe some of the guys that are much gifted, more gifted in the areas of programming and what do they call it? The used to be the punch card guys, but the programmers, you know, the guys that write code. Code writers, that's what I was trying to think of. The code writers know how to get in there and undo those back doors. Any back door that's created can be undone, can be bypassed or disabled. The key to what they're doing is deception, and the enemy not, well, they consider us their enemy. The enemy not knowing what you're up to. But now I believe that Yahweh's revealed the machinations of these people to the point where some elements of the good elements within the country are figuring out ways to undo what they've done. Besides, that's what the scripture says, that Yahweh laughs at the plans of men and what they plan to do to his children, and in the end, that their plans will not only not succeed, but they'll be turned around and put on their heads double.
Right.
So.
Well, yeah, you know, they create things like Facebook to spy on us. But then we turn around and use things like Facebook to expose the enemy.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Well, buddy, I think for today we'll wrap it up. It's been 2.5 hours, believe it or not. So.
Time flies when you're having fun.
It sure does. You know, you're a fireball. You know, I praise Father for you and ask his blessings upon you. But if you got any final comments for the audience before we'll shove off for today and we can pick up with it on the next broadcast.
Be like a Rottweiler and show the enemy no mercy. Praise Yahweh.
Be like a Rottweiler and show the enemy no mercy. I like that. Very good. All right, Randy, you have a blessed afternoon, and keep up the great work, and Yahweh bless your heart, bud. All right, ladies and gentlemen, again, that's Randy up there in Michigan, getting ready to start turning a little cooler up there. Still hot as hell down here, but it is time to get involved in some way. Every single person out there can get involved in the restoration of this world and the bringing down of the wicked. There's something you can do. So there is no excuse for inactivity. Even if it's making one phone call or sending one email a week, as little as that is, it's something. So there's no excuse for anybody not to do something, even if it's to speak to one person. Again, you can get a hold of people by phone, by letters, by text, by email, or by the spoken word. Randy is a fireball, obviously, and we certainly pray for him, and everybody should be praying for him. We got our listening audience went up to 78 today, so that's good. Praise Father for that. Ralph up in Canada sends in this note. I pray Psalm 91 for Randy, Pastor Dan, and all Israelites here. For all enemies listening, my prayer for you is Psalm 83, praise Yahweh. Amen to that. The curses of Psalm 83 against our enemies, the Baal priests, and those that would do evil. Psalm 83 is actually what's going to happen to them in the very near future. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we do ask for your blessings. We give you the honor and the glory and the praise that you deserve and nobody else. We ask that your servants here be humbled and also to stay focused, much as Randy is. We see the goal. We see the enemy. We see the danger that's on the horizon. Now is the time for the men of Yahweh to take a stand. And for the ladies out there, your job is to support your men. Okay, your job is not to be on the front lines. And I know there's a rare an exception to that rule from time to time, but in general, that's the position for the men out on the front lines, the women and children to support the men. That's the way we've done it for thousands of years, and I don't see any reason to change that. So we do ask that our men would take a serious look at the problems we got going on. There's many warnings being given out to me personally and to many of the people I know. Obviously, Randy is on fire. The Holy Spirit is burning hot in him. These are signs of the times. It's telling you there's danger. Where there's smoke, there's fire, folks. And Father, we're going to ask that you would give us good discernment, clear eyes to see clearly in this maze of lies and deception. And by thy Spirit, you know, raise us up and give us a stiff backbone. Give us a courage from within and take away any spirit of fear that might be within us. We are your sons and daughters and no others. And your sons and daughters do not fear the enemy. The enemy needs to fear us. We just need to take a stand and say no more. So forgive us our sins, our shortcomings, and our stumblings, Father. We're doing the best we can. And with your help, we shall be victorious. We shall rise above all this, and we shall vanquish the wicked, as it is stated in Scripture. And we will protect our loved ones, and we will protect our earth, the home that you created for us. Be with us and guide us. Protect us from those who would do us harm. We ask all this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.